of Exodus, chapter 17. Book of Exodus, chapter 17. We'd like to read verses 8 through verse 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they, that would be Aaron and Hur, took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his head and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited or weakened Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. There's a variety of subjects that can be preached and several applications that can be made from this passage of Scripture and the verses leading into it. Scripture, of course, is a great treasure chest of inconceivable wealth. It's not just limited to one application. And it's wonderful. It's just a wonderful thing, something we ought to be thankful for, the variety and the comprehensive range of truth covered in any passage of Scripture. Now, prior to our text and leading into our text, we see that the children of Israel arrive at Rephidim. And we read in verse 1, there was no water for the people to drink. Verses 2 and 3, the people begin to chide with Moses. They begin to blame Moses. And this was a time of great trial. For Moses, it was a time of great trial for Israel. We see the response of Moses in verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do?" So in the midst of trial and difficulty, Moses went to the Lord, and he sought personal counsel from him. That is an example to you and I. The sooner that that becomes our life, the better off we will be. The quicker we go to the Lord for counsel, the better off we'll be and the greater blessing will be to others. In verses 5 and 6, we see the Lord answers Moses, gives Moses explicit instruction, and Moses follows that instruction. Again, there's an application to you and my, to you and I. And though the instruction made no human sense at all, Moses follows the instruction. And that led to an abundance. He smote the rock and the waters came out. He simply followed the Lord, and there was abundance. The lesson is there's abundance in following the Lord. In following the instruction of the Lord, there was the experiencing of a miracle. And you follow God, you'll experience miracles. There was an experience of something that they could have never brought about. And so it will be with you and I if we follow the Lord. There was a receiving from the Lord. There was refreshment from the Lord. There was rest provided by the Lord. And there was a reviving sent from God. Coming to our text, they are now enjoying the blessings of the Lord. They're enjoying a blessed time of reviving. And here comes the enemy. Amalek attacks. Amalek signifies warlike. That's what the word means, warlike. An appropriate name. Amalek, of course, was the grandson of Esau, who was rejected of God. Moses said of Amalek in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 18 that he feared not God, had no reverence for God. And this is the enemy of Israel. And so it is with Satan, the world, and our flesh. They all fight against the well-being of our soul. The Amalekites were a nomadic people. They had no permanent abode. They simply went from place to place, robbing people. They were powerful. They were very aggressive. They were filled with hatred and hostility and fury. And in time of the blessings of God, in time of a refreshing from God, here they come. And we know that's true throughout most of our lives. In our text, Israel prevails over Amalek when the hands of Moses were uplifted. The uplifted hand through the Psalms is emblematic of prayer, praise, worship, and seeking the Lord. And we read in verse 11 of our text, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. The lesson is, battles are won through prayer, praise, worship, and seeking God. Battles are won that way. The way to win the battle is to continue to pray, continue to praise, continue to worship, continue to seek God. And from our text, we also see that there is help for the weary. We read in verse 12, Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Moses was not left to himself. Neither are we. Aaron, of course, was the high priest. He is a type of Jesus Christ. Hur means light, and he is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And our Aaron and our Hur, Christ and the Spirit of God, stand beside us, are within us, to strengthen us and to enable us in the fierce everyday battle that we go through. And the Lord gets the glory. Verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord our banner. The Lord got the glory. So there's many different lessons, many different applications. But in verse 12, we see Moses, Aaron, and Hur. They're on top of a hill. The battle is raging below. Moses holds up his hands, and Israel begins to win the battle. Moses' hands get tired, and he begins to drop his hands, and Amalek begins to prevail. Aaron and Hur can see all of this, and they position themselves so that they can hold up the hands of Moses. And it's from that that we want to take the thought of the message. And we want to make application of a church standing by the side of the pastor, encouraging and helping him. The subject of the message is hold up his hands. I do not know, nor do you, who your next pastor will be. I do believe with all my heart that God has a man for you, and whoever that is the best pastor that you can have. I believe that. But I want to encourage you to position yourselves to hold up his hands. You don't even know who it is. But position yourselves to hold up his hands. So let's look first of all at the role that Aaron and Hur took, and then we'll look at Moses as well. But coming to our text, Israel is in a difficult and trying and threatening situation, a time of great distress. Amalek has attacked. Very crucial time. The battle was raging. Their very existence was being threatened. And Aaron and Hur, realizing the gravity of the situation, stood by the side by side with Moses, and they did what was necessary. And here we are today, you and I as individuals, as churches. We live in times that are very hard to deal with, very difficult to bear at times. Satan has not decreased his hatred for God. Satan has not decreased his hatred for God's people. He has not toned down his purpose, which is a purpose of destruction. He has not toned down his efforts to get an advantage over us. He has not thrown aside any of his devices. He has not lost any of his wiles. He has not lessened his attacks. But rather, these things intensify as we move through these last days. The enemies of God have not and will not decrease their enmity toward God and the truth. But they will continue to set up more and more barriers. And as we move through these last days, it gets worse and worse. That's what the Bible teaches. And churches of the Lord find themselves in crucial times. So let's look at the example of Aaron and Hur and the position and the role that they took. Again, there is Moses, Aaron and Hur on top of the hill. They can see the battle that is raging between Israel and Amalek. They can see the need and sense the need of the hour. Moses lifts up his hands. He's got the rod of God in one hand. And he lifts up his hands and Israel prevails. So he continues to hold up his arms. But after a while, his arms became tired. It became heavy. So he lets down his hand. And Amalek prevailed. Aaron and Hur, they can see that When Moses lifts up his hands, Israel is benefited. They could also see that after a while, Moses would become tired. He was weakened. And it began to get burdensome, and it began to get difficult, and it began to be demanding for Moses to continue to hold up his hands. So though Moses was trying with all his might to keep his arms up, he only had so much strength, and his hands would begin to come down. And when they did, Amalek prevailed. So Aaron and Hur see this, and immediately they felt a need to do something for Moses. They could have sat back and scrutinized and criticized the way Moses was holding up his arms. Well, he's not doing it right. If he would do it this way, he wouldn't get so tired. He's not doing it right. And they could have spent the whole time scrutinizing and criticizing Moses. He could have just stood back and cast judgment. Well, if he was more spiritual, he wouldn't get so tired. What's wrong with him? That's not what they did. They desired to be a help to Moses. And believe they began to think, what can we do to help Moses? They're looking for a way to help him. They're looking for a way to be a blessing, not only to Moses, but to the Israelites who were below. Again, verse 11, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Aaron and Hur, seeing this, what do? They come to the aid of Moses. It says that they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. This makes it much easier for them to hold up his hands. If he's standing up, it's much more difficult to reach up and hold his hand. So they sit him down, and now it's much easier to hold up his arms. So they come to the aid of Moses. And Aaron and Hur, realizing that this was a very grave and serious time, a very dangerous time, a very crucial time, and seeing the important role of Moses to the well-being of the nation, when Moses holds up his hands, Israel is winning. When he lets down his hands, Israel is losing. Moses has an important role here. And Aaron and Hur immediately see this. So they seek to give him relief. They took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. They sought to relieve him of the stress of the hour. And by being a help and by being a blessing to Moses, they were a help and a blessing to all the Israelites below who were fighting in the battle. Now, whoever God has for you has a pastor. You don't even have to know who that is before you determine in your heart and mind, we are going to be an aid to him. We are going to seek to aid him in his ministry, whoever it is. You need to determine that in your heart and mind right now. As Moses sat there with uplifted arms, after a while his hands grew heavy. Their leader was weary. And Aaron and Hur put themselves in a position where they could help him. They get this rock. Moses sits on it, and Aaron and Hur, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. They position themselves. And they position themselves in relation to Moses. They didn't stand there and argue. Aaron saying, I want to be on the right side. And Hur saying, I want to be on the right side. No, you get on the left side. They didn't argue about it. They each put themselves in a position where they could be of help. That's what they did. They put themselves in a position where they could help. You and I can get ourselves in a position where we can't help anybody. But Aaron and Hur made sure that they put themselves in a position where they could help Moses. And whoever it is that God has for you as pastor, determine in your heart and mind, even now, I am going to take a position where I can be of help to him. Because if I am a help to him, I am a help to the church. If I am a blessing to him, I am a blessing to the church. Again, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. They position themselves in relation to Moses. And by so doing, they were saying, we are here for you, Moses. We're here for you, Moses. That's what they were saying to Moses. What they're saying is, Moses, we can't afford for you to let down your hands. So Moses, when you can't hold them up, we'll hold them up for you. We're here for you, Moses. Moses, we're not going to, I imagine when Moses' hands grew weary and they started to fall before Aaron and Hur took their position, it was discouraging to Moses. But Aaron and Hur are saying to Moses, Moses, we're not going to let you be discouraged. We're not going to let you be defeated. We can't afford that. We're here for you, Moses. Don't give up, Moses. We don't want you to give up. We're here for you, Moses. Aaron and Hur not only put themselves in a position to be a blessing to Moses, but they also performed a very vital task. It says that Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. When he wanted to drop his hands, he couldn't. They're holding his arms up. So as Moses sat there with uplifted hands, after a while, his hands grow heavy. But look at the picture. There's Aaron on one side, Hur on the other side. And for the sake of the people of God, they held up his hands. And Israel prevailed. The entire nation was dependent upon and needed the uplifted hand of Moses. They needed Moses to be strong. And Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses. And they were a blessing to God's people because they held up the hands of Moses. And all the blessings and the victories that have been won because of some Aarons and Hurs. And all the pastors that have been helped and spared from discouragement because of some God-placed Aarons and Hurs. And all the blessings and benefits to the Lord's churches because of some God-placed Aarons and Hurs. The end result was Israel was victorious, verse 13. And as we've already said, and God was glorified. verse 15. So they desired to be an aid to Moses. They put themselves in a position to be an aid to Moses. They performed a vital task. But notice also they persevered in their task. Verse 12, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. They persevered. Aaron and Hur could not fill the office of Moses, but they could stand next to him and hold up his hands. And that's what they did. They were there to help Moses accomplish the task. And they were, as a result, they were an encouragement to Moses. They performed a vital function. They performed an important task. And I wonder if anyone even noticed what Aaron and Hur had done. They're down, the Israelites are down there fighting the battle, and I wonder if anyone even noticed what Aaron and Hur did. But God noticed, and He still does. So let's consider Moses. We read in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. Moses got to this point because he was a man. Because he was a man. Being a man means that he had weaknesses. He had shortcomings. He had battles. He had struggles. Just like everyone else. You know, all the Israelites, when they came to Rephidim, they were thirsty. And the people just complained and griped. No one seemed to think, you know, I bet Moses is thirsty too. I bet Moses is tired too. I bet Moses is discouraged too. No, all they did was gripe. Moses was a man. And because he was a man, he had the same experiences that they had. And because he was a man, he needed to have his hands held up. He's a man. He's not superhuman. Whoever God has for you will be a man. And I don't, he'll be a male, but he'll be a man. He'll be flesh and blood. And he'll have weaknesses. Well, we want a pastor who don't have any weaknesses. Well, you're not going to find that. He's going to have weaknesses. Believe it or not, he's going to have feelings. And he'll have shortcomings. And he'll have battles. And he'll have struggles. And he'll need his hands held up. Guaranteed. And whoever God has for you, you need to come. You need to determine. Yes, he's going to need his hands held up. And I'm going to put myself in a position to do so. That ought to be the desire of each one. Moses had the same trials they had. And God has a man for you, and whoever that is, he'll not be above the trials of life. And he's going to need his hands held up. Make up your mind even now. Determine in your heart, I'm going to be of aid to him. I'm going to position myself, I'm going to keep myself in a position spiritually where I can be a blessing to him and be of a help to him. Make up your mind. Determine even now that you're going to hold up his hands, whoever it is. Moses had been called by God. Moses had been prepared by God, equipped by God, placed by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness. Was he perfect? Was he without flaw? No. But he was the God-provided man that they needed at that particular time in their history. And so it is when God gives pastors to his churches. Your pastor is your Moses. And the man that God has for you will be your Moses. He will be here for the well-being of each individual and the well-being of the church. There is no higher calling than the call to the ministry. There is no greater responsibility. There is no greater accountability than the ministry. And there is no higher office than the office of the pastor of a New Testament Baptist church. It is a call to act as an agent, a representative, and an ambassador for the sovereign God of the universe. And whoever it is, I guarantee you, he'll need some Aarons and hers. He will have the awesome responsibility of leading, feeding, and protecting this church. Those duties are of a great variety. We certainly don't have time to go through them all. They are of great variety and are called the work of the ministry in Ephesians 4, verse 12. Those duties must be carried out in the face of enemies and attacks and conflicts. And most of the conflicts are fought behind the scenes that no one even knows about. These duties must be carried out in the midst of hostility and opposition at times. These duties must be carried out in spite of many obstacles and hindrances. And he brings many of the obstacles and hindrances into his own life, as we all do. But he'll need some Aarons and he'll need some hers. The work of the ministry involves incredible resistance. And I'm not merely speaking by people, but demonic resistance. Intense struggles. The duties involve overwhelming sorrows. Overwhelming sorrows. Overwhelming burdens, heartaches, and anguish and stress. Intense pressure. Deep, deep hurts. We all have hurts. We all have wounds. But there are deep, deep hurts in the ministry. Cutting wounds. And these duties involve many frustrations. It can be frustrations with oneself. It can be frustrations with people. It can be just innumerable. Involve disappointment. Involves isolation that no one knows about other than a pastor. Very lonely job, or position, I should say. I guarantee you he'll need some Aarons. And he'll need some hers. There will be people, just because that's the way people are, who will put him on a shelf. And when they need him, he'd better be there, and they'll take him down from the shelf. And then when they're done with them, they'll put them back on the shelf. Now you just stay right there until I need you for next time. It happens. And he's going to need some Aarons and hers to stand by his side. There will be times of anxiety. You say, well, that's sin. Perhaps he's a man. There will be times of anxiety. There will be times of turmoil. There will be times of great depths. And there will be times when he is wounded and weakened and perhaps discouraged. And he's going to need some Aarons and hers to hold up his hands. Make up your mind even now. Determine in your heart, I'm going to be of aid to him. I will position myself to be a blessing and a help to him. Determine even now in your heart that you're going to hold up his hands. I'm going to hold up his hands. The duties of the pastorate involve people. People are sinners, including the pastor. People have faults, including the pastor. They have personality flaws, including the pastor. They have mood swings. Pastors aren't allowed to have those, but not in public anyway. They have problems. They have fears. They have concerns. People. And they have heartaches. They have physical and emotional and spiritual needs. They can be fickle. They can be mean. They can be conniving. They can be deceitful. They can turn against a pastor in a moment. Read Exodus 14, 11, 15, 24, 16, verses 2 and 3. And then our text here, 17, verses 2 through 4. People turned against Moses. There's no one in the church more criticized, more scrutinized, more murmured against, more doubted, more questioned, more second-guessed and judged than the pastor and his family. And in a moment, he may be considered the enemy by the very people he is there to help. Paul asked the Galatian churches in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The truth is, if a pastor speaks the truth to some folks, he's immediately the enemy. He's immediately the enemy. He will be criticized and scrutinized. And there will be those ready to believe whatever accusations are made. And there will be times, because he is a man, that his hands will become weary. And he's going to need some Aarons. He's going to need some hers. The duties of the pastor involve a wide range of people. There's the sorrowful and there's the joy. Joyful. Pastor may need to go from the birthing room to the funeral home or to the deathbed in just a matter of minutes. And he's going to need some Aarons and hers to hold up his hands. There are the wavering. There are the steadfast. There are those in error and there are those who love the truth. Believe it or not everybody that sits in a Baptist church loves the truth. There'll be the unsaved, there'll be the saved. There'll be the ungodly, and there'll be the godly. There will be those who are a tremendous blessing, who look for ways to serve the Lord, to be an encouragement. And on the other end, there will be those who are never satisfied. Take, 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 take. Complainers, demanders. But the pastor must be all things to all people. God has a man for you. And he's going to need some Aarons and hers. Every member wants the ideal pastor. They want the ideal pastor's wife. They want the ideal pastor's children. The problem is, almost everyone has different ideas of what that is. And therefore, the work of the ministry can be very demanding. Many of the expectations are unreasonable with no scriptural basis whatsoever. He's going to need some Aarons and hers. It is a position that is beyond human capability. He's going to need some Aarons and hers. Physically, emotionally draining. More emotional than physical, but the emotional becomes physical. And your Moses will need some Aarons and hers. He's going to need them. When you pour your problems and your burdens on the pastor, that's fine. It's one of the reasons he's there. But when you do that, don't get so caught up with your situation that you forget to hold up his hands. You've dumped the world on him. At least hold up his hands. Hold up his hands. And as you pour out your burdens upon him, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. Perhaps five other people have done the same thing that day. He needs someone to hold up his hands. There will be a wide range of circumstances. Whoever your next pastor is, the Lord already knows the circumstances that he'll be in and that you'll be in. And he has to be a man of wisdom. Has to be a man of patience. He won't survive if he don't have patience. Patience isn't easy. Needs some Aarons and hers. Has to be a man of forbearance. Has to put up with remarks. Has to put up with the mood swings. Has to be faithful. He's going to be here no matter what. Got to be a man of strength. Man of persistence. Man of conviction. Has to have backbone. Steadfastness, boldness, and yet he has to have tenderness. He must be able to be stern. He must also be able to show compassion. He must be a man of perseverance. Has to be a man of boundless love. I guarantee you he will need some Aarons and hers. He's going to need that. So make up your mind now and determine in your heart, I'm going to position myself to be a blessing and a help to him. And I'm going to hold up his hands. I'm going to hold up his hands. Aaron and Hur desired to be of aid to Moses. And they positioned themselves to be such. And they held up the hands of Moses. And as a result, they were a help and a blessing to the people of God. Don't underestimate the help and blessing of standing with your next pastor. People say, I'm right behind you. Yeah, they sure are. Don't be behind them. Be next to him. Position yourself next to him. Because he's a man. He's got the same problems you have, same trials. He's going to need someone to hold up his hands. Just as he holds up the hands of others, he too will need his hands held up. Be an Aaron, be a Hur. Stand by the side of and lift up the hands, lift up the arms, whoever it is that God has for you. I hope that you don't take this as complaining. It's not. Not at all. I just want to encourage you to determine. I thank God for every Aaron and Hur. I've had many. I'm thankful for each one of them. But just determine in your heart and mind. God has someone for us. And we are for Him. And I'm going to be a blessing to Him. I'm going to stand by His side. Immediately someone says, well, what if he does wrong? That's not what I'm talking about. Well, what if he starts to preach error? That's not what I'm talking about. That's a different subject. But determine in your heart and mind, I'm going to stand beside him. He's going to get weak at times. I'm not going to hold that against him. Because he's a man. Because he's a man. But I'm going to be a blessing to him. Again, I want to encourage you to know God has a man. And God's man will be the best pastor that you can possibly have. No one better. No one better than the one that God want you to have. Pray the Lord's abundant blessings upon Home Baptist Church, upon each one. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.